for some reason, I remember a story from early in my first grade year. Don't know why this memory stuck, but it has stuck there. I remember sitting in class with my teacher, Miss Bowlby, in Webster Groves, Missouri. We had been several weeks into school, and the night before had been the first PTA meeting. And Miss Bowlby came to class the next morning, and she said, "I wanted to say I enjoyed meeting your parents last night. You all picked some really good parents." And then she paused for a minute and she said, "There was one year that I said that to my class. And as I said that, there was silence for a moment. And then a child who I knew had been adopted raised her hand and said, 'Excuse me, I didn't choose my parents. They chose me.'" Our scripture today is a reminder that we have been chosen by a heavenly Father. That God called us, invited us to be His children. And it's a reflection on what it means to those who have been born of God. There are wonderful metaphors to think about what it means to be church. And as I've preach, as I teach, as I talk about church, there are a variety of metaphors that come out: the body of Christ, community of faith, fellowship of believers. But I think one of my favorites is that phrase, family of faith. Because there's something in that picture of being a family of faith that helps us reflect on what it means to live as God's people. It begins with the recognition that God has reached out, He's called us, He's invited us to be His children. There's the old saying, you can't choose your parents. And we, when we understand Scripture, recognize that we didn't choose God. God called us, chose us, loved us, and invited us to be children of God, lavishing His love on us, inviting us to be children, wanting us to be part of His family and this family of faith. It's a marvelous gift. And I confess that after 20-plus years of ministry and many years of being a Christian, many times talking about God's love, thinking about God's love, there are many times when I have to acknowledge in my own mind, I still can't even begin to grasp the message that God loves me that much. We sing about it, we talk about it, but sometimes I think we struggle to really let it sink in. God loves you so very much that He sent His only begotten Son. God loves you not because of what you have to offer God, but simply because He created you and values you and invites you to be His child. It's the most basic message of the gospel. And yet sometimes I think we still struggle to let it sink in. We get caught up in trying to prove ourselves, be worthy, thinking if I just do this or do that, God will be more happy with me. When the very foundation of the gospel is God loves us. He invites us to be His children. He wants to lavish His love upon us and call us His sons and daughters. Actress Jeanette Cliff George tells the story of being on an airplane. I think every good minister and Bible teacher must have to have an airplane story. In this particular time, she was across the aisle from a mother with a very young child. It was a turbulent flight. The child was getting upset and being bounced around. And so every time the child began to whine, trying to calm the child down and not disturb the rest of the folks on the flight, Mama found some fruit or some juice or something to put in the child's mouth to try to calm the child down. Of course, if you've been through things like that, you understand that a bouncing child swallowing food has its own inherent risks. And before long, everything that was going into the child was coming back out of the child. And Jeanette Cliff George says, by the end of the flight, that whole row was covered. She watched as this mother and child covered in young child food got off of the plane, and as they were heading towards baggage claim, she saw a young man standing there in white shirt, white pants, holding flowers, and she could tell by the way he made eye contact with this young mother that he was waiting for his wife and his child. And she said, I watched as they got closer, and the husband and father began to move towards his wife and child, and she thought to herself, he's going to run to that baby, get a good look at her, and keep on running. And Jeanette Cliff George says, I watched as that young man reached and hugged his wife, kissed his wife, and then took that baby covered in food while he was dressed all in white and held her tight, kissing her, hugging on her, whispering in her ear all the way to baggage claim till he was as dirty as she was. After watching the scene on the way to her own home, Jeanette Cliff George says she thought to herself, where did I ever get the idea that my Father God is less loving than that young daddy in white slacks and a white shirt hugging a dirty child? And she began to reflect on that image as a reminder of God, our loving Father, our loving parent, who sees us with all the messes we make and all the messes that we are, and still holds out his arms and invites us into his embrace. I remember one time when my son was in high school running cross country. They had been at cross country practice. I was coming home from work in a shirt and tie. He'd been running in September heat. He did not look or smell good. And I think he thought he was going to play a trick on me as he walks up to me with his arms out. And I thought, I've got a 16-year-old son offering me a hug. I don't care if he's sweaty. I don't care if he's nasty. And I held and pulled him into a hug. How much more does God's love for us invite us with all that's wrong in us to find his grace? See how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are invited by a loving God to recognize that with all the mess we are, He always invites us to come to Him, to come to His table, to know that we are loved and that His grace is sufficient for us. We are part of the family of faith. Of course, in this passage from John, we're reminded that just as is true in human families, life in the family of faith brings not only grace, but expectation. Max Lucado has phrased it this way, God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you there. He wants you to be just like Jesus. You know that father in the airport wasn't going to be content letting that child, when she got home, stay dirty from that point forward. The grace, the love was evident, but there was still a desire to clean the child up. And God's heart for us is that we, as we are invited into His embrace, as we acknowledge that we are loved, recognize that God's heart is for us to become like Him. Our reading tells us that at the end of time, we will be like Him. But John is writing to us to remind us that even as we live in this life, we ought to be striving for purity and righteousness. We can't be satisfied with anything less than being Christ-like. We've got to look into our lives and see our attitudes, our speech patterns, our actions that are less than pleasing to God, and recognize that as recipients of God's love, we are called to be transformed. In chapter 2, verse 29 of our reading, we're told, if you know that He, meaning God, is righteous, and the assumption is, yes, we know God is righteous, all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. We're called to purify ourselves, to seek God's heart, to be transformed, to leave behind that which fails to honor and please God. Hear again the words of verse 10 of chapter 3. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This does not mean we earn God's pleasure, but as recipients of God's grace, there is an expectation that we be willing to leave behind those things that fail to honor God, that we be willing to put aside those things that are selfish and focused on what we want as we begin to strive for purity and righteousness, to get rid of that which is sinful, and to put on righteousness, a call to being just, upright, innocent, and in a strong, faithful relationship with God. We're reminded throughout this passage that those who call God Father, those who commit to following Jesus Christ, are called to leave behind our sin, to be transformed. And I think the phrase that tells us how we do this is at the beginning of our reading today. And now, dear children, in verse 228, now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Think about that phrase. We're being invited to continue in Him. This suggests an ongoing relationship, a commitment to worship and study and prayer, whereby we come before God and listen for His voice and prayerfully ask God, show me what in my life is displeasing to You. A commitment to spend time connecting to God so that we can see where we honor Christ and where we fall short. It's a call to honestly examine ourselves, to pray that God will shine His light into the dark corners of our souls so that we can recognize that we fall short of God's calling and that we can then, through His power, be transformed. The idea of continuing in Him reminded me of the passage in John 15. Listen to this call, where Jesus says in 15:4, remain in Me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in Me, you are like a branch. If you do not remain in Me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. How do we become more like Jesus? It's not by trying harder. It's not by setting our minds to it. I've said numerous times, and you know it's true, our good intentions fall short over and over again. Our discipline, our commitment that I'm going to do better, never seems to be enough to really bring change in our hearts and attitudes and words. Ultimately, the only way we can be transformed, the only way we can live in faith, the only way we can demonstrate God's love is by continuing in Him, connecting to Him, building that relationship with Him, knowing that as we experience God's love, open our hearts to Him, submit to Him, He can change us. He can transform us. He can help us become the new creations He desires that we become. Craig Barnes is a president of Princeton Theological Seminary, a Presbyterian pastor who grew up in a pastor's home. He talks about a time when his father was serving a church in a low-income community, people struggling and hurting, many struggling with addiction in the community where his father served. One night at home, they got a call from an 11-year-old boy named Roger saying he couldn't wake his parents up. Barnes' father went, afraid of what was going on, and indeed, when he got to the house, he found that Roger's parents had both died of a drug overdose. He called the police. He stayed with the family. When the police came, knowing there was no other family to call, he said, "I'll take Roger home with me for tonight." Roger, who had seen his parents dead, seen them carried out, got in the car and went home with his pastor. By the time this pastor got home, he decided they would adopt this boy. Craig Barnes says, "I've always wondered through the years if my father stopped at a payphone or some phone on the way home and ran this idea by my mother, but I'm not sure that really happened." When they got home that night, they woke up Craig and his brother, told him, "This is Roger. He's going to be your brother from now on." And there began a change in family dynamics. Trying to watch this young 11-year-old from a tough family fit in. Barnes says his parents were staunch Presbyterians who never met a rule they didn't like. And here was an 11-year-old boy named Roger who'd never met a rule. And the phrase, Barnes says, "I think I heard more than any other phrase for the next few years around our home was, 'No, no, Roger, we don't do that here.'" And he said, "My mother, who was the voice of the Holy Spirit in our house, seemed to try to do most of her teaching at the table. And over again at the table, they'd hear things like, 'No, no, you don't have to fight or scream or cry to get you what you want. We don't do that here. No, no, don't grab for food. We don't do that here. No, no, we don't say those words in this house.'" Over and over again, the table became the time of teaching. And Barnes, reflecting back on this, says, "Now, did Roger have to learn any of those lessons to become part of the family? No, he was made part of the family by the grace of my father. In a moment, he became a joint heir in our family. But did he have to make changes because he was in the family? Absolutely. And gradually and over time, Roger did change. He began to act out less and less. He began to understand that he was a beloved child, and that he was accepted, and that there were possibilities for him that didn't exist before." Listen to Barnes reflect again on watching this dynamic over a series of years. He says, "I think of this often when I come to the communion table. I think about the parts of my life that are not of God, the bad habits I've picked up, thinking I was on my own in life, the things I do that hurt others and myself. And I can hear the Holy Spirit, who still uses my mother's voice, say, 'No, no, we don't do that here.' Then I remember Christ and who I am in Christ." As a 20-year-old changed young man, Roger went into the military and was killed in battle saving someone else. And when word got to the Barnes family that this young man they had adopted died a hero, it created great grief, great pain, great sense of loss. And Barnes remembers his mother saying, "How did that angry, frightened kid ever turn out to be a hero?" And in reflecting back, Barnes says, "I know how. It was because of the table lessons. And because of his choice to accept my parents' love and be their son." we come to the table in a moment. Invited to accept the love of the Heavenly Father. Invited to remember that Jesus Christ gave His life for us. And sometimes to be reminded that sometimes at the table we have to hear, no, no, we don't do that here. We come to recognize that God loves us enough to invite us to His table. And He loves us enough not to leave us where we're stuck. He loves us enough to help us become more and more like Jesus, who gave His life and calls us to follow His example. Will you pray with me? Loving God, You have spoken Your love to us. As we come to the table, help us to receive this amazing gift. Fill us with Your grace. Remind us that we are loved, and remind us that we are called to change. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As our deacons